Why would they attack a civilian city?
It's gotta be because it's on the border. They're probably trying to choke the provinces out to weaken them, just like they did in the first war, and Birmingham is a good start.
That's it. I'm calling Dr. Radcliffe. Up.
Elijah, you might want to come here.
Huh? What the?
Attention. This is Dr. Radcliffe. To all residents, agents, and/or employees in the premises, an attack has occurred in Birmingham. So far, we have detected enemy aircraft only in that area. Prepare to take shelter if our radars detect aircraft coming our way. Please remain calm. Stand by.
Okay, let's go back inside and wait this out.
I wanted to break down in panic. I was heavily breathing, but trying to contain myself. Marianne kept her composure very well, which motivated me to do the same. She had been in much more training than I had, so she was more mentally prepared for things like this. She could tell I was nervous. Several hours went by with no threat of attack on New Boston. However, Birmingham was in shambles. More than half of the buildings, from what I could see on the news, were extremely battered with pillars of smoke coming from all ends. No structures had completely fallen, but the city had taken a hit. The news said that although there would be more, a total of 1,200 deaths had been confirmed, with 4,300 injuries. It had been an hour since the bombings had stopped. The military took down all but three bomber crafts, forcing them to retreat. Although they took a hit, our casualties were much greater. What was worse was that they were civilians.
To everyone watching. An inhumane attack has occurred in the southern city of Birmingham. There were nearly 2,000 casualties and countless injuries. Businesses that our American workers have worked so hard for have been turned to rubble, and homes that our families come to every day no longer stand. While the Allied States of America are retreating to cower behind their walls, we are getting stronger by the second. We will not be shaken. We will not cower. We will build back. We will be stronger. We will always be the leading voice of what is right. Soon, we will infiltrate their network and show them who we really are and who our beloved Elijah really is to us. The whole nation will see his face and hear his message. Their government will know that we are not to be pushed around. If any of you in the Allied States are watching, beware, for you have only awoken a sleeping giant. There will be trying times ahead, but I assure you that the best is yet to come.
Wow, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah. I imagine they're probably going to be needing us soon, so I think we should get some sleep, at least as much as we can.
Yeah, good idea.
All right. I'll see you later. Bye.
You're listening to Time Faction at War, Episode 2. Thank you for listening, and find the next episode wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Enjoy the show.
This episode contains scenes of war violence. This content may be intense and could be unsettling for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
No! We can't just leave her. We have to try.
Marianne, she's gone. Come on, we have to go.
Hmm.
Elijah, I apologize for interrupting your sleep, but I need you here at the president's home. This is very urgent.
Yes, sir. Of course. I'll be over as soon as possible.
Excellent. A cab is waiting for you outside the WPA facility. I will see you momentarily.
Oh, hey. I guess we're going to the same place?
Yep.
Marianne and I went down to the parking deck, where Dr. Radcliffe was waiting as he was getting in the cab.
Good early morning, you two. The president did not specify to me what he wanted us for, but I imagine it has something to do with your message, Elijah.
As we approached the president's home, we could barely see the sunlight coming from the Atlantic Ocean. The glowing lights from the president's home made the scenery even more beautiful. The same two guards opened up the doors to the car and escorted us to a room downstairs in the massive house. They led us to a set of double doors that opened to a windowless room. A massive oval table was in the center of it, and a hologram projection was in place across the table. Each space had a small holographic projection device fused into the table, acting as a computer setup. President Huxley was sitting at the other end of the table, and several well-dressed and groomed officials, such as the Vice President, Secretary of Defense, and other important people were there.
Dr. Radcliffe, Mary Ann, Elijah, good to have you here. You are here to view the network infiltration that will leak Elijah's message to the Allied States. Right now, our top experts are hacking into every major news network site, as well as their government's emergency broadcast system, so that every eye may see. Please have a seat.
Complete.
Commence the broadcast.
People of the world.
Right now, this is being broadcast through the ASA's emergency broadcast system, so anyone viewing an electronic device will see this. Now, Elijah, we are going to do something special here. We are going to broadcast you live with an update on your status. Please read these words on the prompt that will show on the screen in front of you. Stay seated where you are.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, just do it like you did the first video. Good luck.
You've got this, Elijah.
Okay. What you saw a moment ago was real and told you what actually happened.
The ASA's attack on Birmingham was only to appease a fooled people.
You have been lied to. I am well and living in the provinces with people who care about me, but more importantly, care about you. Stop. Stop letting them lie to you. Rise up. Fight for your freedom and your right to know the truth. Fight to stop the WCO from taking over the world. Hold fast, for help is on the way. I am Elijah, and we are here to rescue you.
Great job, Elijah. We will keep those messages on repeat for as long as we can. We are unsure as to when they will regain control, but we have to utilize every second we can get. Upstairs, you will find an array of eateries. Please, I insist on you all helping yourselves to a well-earned breakfast.
We all left as a group to walk upstairs. In the main area, a table with white cloth contained all sorts of breakfast foods: fried and scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, pancakes, Belgian waffles, more than 10 kinds of fruit, toast, or for the basic people, cereal. Orange juice was kept in a fine glass pitcher. It was in the top 10 meals I had ever had, I will admit. Afterwards, Marianne, Dr. Radcliffe, and I departed back to the WPA. Huxley had told us he would let Dr. Radcliffe know when we lost access to the ASA's broadcast systems. As of now, an hour after the initial broadcast, the message was still on every display in the ASA. Although we didn't return fire on the ASA physically, our cyber counterattack was sweet justice for sure. Now, their government was exposed. It would only be so much longer before they faced consequences for lying. It was a mild, foggy morning in Charleston,
This city was peculiar. Half of it was in the Chesapeake Province in the eastern provinces, and the other half was in Kentucky in the Allied States. Only there was a wall that divided the city in half. On the eastern half, the city was prosperous. The roads were newly paved, there were luxury cars on every street, and people walked around with their families, living a happy, peaceful life. On the western end of Charleston, the infrastructure was crumbling. The buildings in this half were not near as tall, and they were hundreds of years old, and it hadn't been maintained well. These people knew that their country, the ASA, was weak, and that the EPA system was prosperous, because they witnessed it firsthand daily. The disproportionality of the city was obvious to everyone there. What finally pushed the people of West Charleston over the edge was when they saw my message and could confirm their government was lying to them. On this morning, August 12th, 2108, something historical happened. The streets were quiet on both ends of the city, as most had not left for work yet. However, at sunrise, the people in West Charleston began to gather and head towards the wall.
ASA Border Guard, requesting backup. I repeat, requesting backup.
The protesters had not yet gotten violent. They merely gathered together and protested their government. The guards on top of the walls held fast to their guns, eventually aiming them at the crowd when an overwhelming number of people had arrived. There were no shots fired yet. It was illegal to protest in the ASA, but the numbers were too great for the few guards at each post to try and overpower them. News sources from both nations began to film what was going on. The ASA didn't even try to block what was going on, as their systems were still hacked 24 hours later. Everyone could see what was happening.
I'm speechless.
What's our next move, sir?
Send troops to the border to defend the protesters immediately. The ASA can't get away with taking any more lives than they already have.
Soldiers did not stop until every last ASA soldier was dead, for their mercilessness on innocent civilians was not to be tolerated. This battle became in the top 10 most bloody massacres the continent had ever experienced. Thousands of people were killed, including ASA and EPA soldiers and ASA civilians. I was rushed to the president's home as a massacre, now a battle, occurred so that I could stay updated with the most recent information. After the violence had ended, Charleston was silent. EPA soldiers had the entire city surrounded, even on the western half. Patrols were positioned on every street to ensure that, amidst the chaos, anarchy would not occur.
Elijah, it is time for you to partake in the next step in your mission. We're going to fly you out to Charleston shortly, where you will speak from your heart without a script this time to the people there. They are all out on the streets trying to find loved ones, too traumatized to go back home. This is the perfect opportunity to speak. I would teleport you there, but we need a more grand appearance so that they know you're there.
Oh,
Yes, sir, Mr. President. I'll do whatever you ask.
Excellent. Follow me, please. Good luck, Elijah. You're gonna do great. Remember, speak from the heart.
What?
From the heart!
I watched the land below pass by me. I could see thriving cities below me as we flew over the provinces. Chesapeake, I could tell, was a beautiful place due to the mountains. Up ahead, as a helicopter began its approach, I could see the skyline of Charleston just beyond the mountains. There were choppers flying all around the city. We landed on a stretch of a closed-off interstate on the ASA side of the city. It wasn't long before men in black suits boarded the helicopter and escorted me down. I hopped in a cab awaiting me, headed towards the city. As we began to drive into the downtown district, I saw very disturbing sights. Mothers with bloody clothes were roaming the streets, looking for their children, who had likely run away or had been killed. Some people were sitting on the curbs of the street, holding a gauze on wounds and being assisted by EPA medics. Ambulances were everywhere, both EPA and ASA. Somehow the people knew I was coming because almost all of them stared at my cab as it drove by. Up ahead, close to the wall, people were yet again gathering there. They wanted to hear me speak. The cab drove by them and pulled right next to the wall. There was a temporary platform set up ahead where people were gathering. On the platform, there were more men in black suits, all with rifles in their hands. As an agent in the car with me escorted me to the platform, my heart was pounding as if it was trying to burst out of my chest and run away. I was about to have to speak in front of a crowd who had just experienced life-altering events.
People of Charleston, I know you were left battered and beaten by your own government. You already knew that they weren't there for you, as you and they demonstrated this morning. As fighters for freedom, we will not be shaken, and we will not be silenced. President Huxley wishes he could be here, but he wanted me to show myself to you. Just me, facing you all. This may be a bit taboo for a 17-year-old to announce, but I have been told to tell you that our president and Congress have passed and signed for an official declaration of war on the Allied States of America. Times ahead will be rough, but soon we will enter a new era. Your bravery in standing up against tyranny will henceforth be known as Awakening Day. Yes, today will also be known as the Charleston Massacre. But let the world know that the last shots fired in this war, however long it may last, will be in the name of liberty. Words cannot express how sorry I am that you had experienced this today. But you will never be forgotten. My heart goes out to all of those lives lost, and to you who are valiantly standing here today. Thank you.